From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 23rd day of November 2021. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson, the agricultural energies with Dan O'Brien, the ag weather forecast with Don Day, and we'll hear a bit more about National Farm City Week today. We'll take up horticulture on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn futures finished at $5.80 a bushel, up 3.75 today. The March up 4 at $5.88 in May corn, $5.92 4 higher. The soybeans in the January down a penny and a quarter at $12.73. The March at $12.84 a penny and 3/4 lower. And November futures 2.5 lower a bushel at $12.53 for the soybeans. Bean meal at $3.62.20, down $7.80, and the bean oil at $60.14, 73 cents higher. Wheat futures were up a dime and a quarter at $8.56¾. Live cattle futures up 45 cents, feeders up 267.5, and lean hogs up 25. Wayne Nelson now joins us from L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Hi, Wayne. Happy Thanksgiving to you, or at least early Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it is. It's Thanksgiving coming up this week, and that generally means that the bulls get to eat turkey at Thanksgiving, and the bears get to eat at Christmas if we hang in there with a little rally here that way. But, you know, they put a little scare into us whether we were going to get to have our turkey at Thanksgiving this year with the announcement of releasing some of the strategic reserve. But by the end of the day, crude oil was back higher, and that was pulling the wheat and the corn on up, and we actually closed in the green. So that was a good deal.
Yeah, it seemed like that it was quiet. If you looked, it just looked like quiet trade because it was a couple of cents move in the corn, and the crude was up $1.81. But the range wasn't that big, but it did drop on ideas that that announcement was going to come. And then it took a look at the announcement again, I guess, and said, well, that's really not very much oil. And so we're going to continue to move things higher. Good for the corn market. We'll hear in just a bit about ethanol. It has been on a tear in terms of profitability, and I suppose that really underpins this marketplace.
It's the crush in the beans. I think yesterday we were a little over $2 on the crush. And, so a lot of times we're under a dollar is what the crushers are making. And the crude oil, just tremendous, not the crude oil, the ethanol, the corn grind and the ethanol, just tremendous. And we are looking forward to supposedly China, I think, was dropping their tariffs on DDGs starting first of the year, and that will help also out. And we know that they are needing some feed grains along the way to replace some of the corn that they didn't harvest and stuff that way. So, you know, that could be a way for them to take some of our grain that isn't showing in some of the shipments yet.
Yeah, so inflation is the other side of this. Producers worried about the input prices. But I take it they can probably still make pretty good money even on the 2022 crop if they price some of it out.
You know, that's the scary thing. If you can price your inputs and you use the price here today, you can still figure a little profit. But pricing here and we continue to go up like this with inflation and shortages, then that's a little scary on what some of the farmers are doing. Or that's the talk when they talk to me anyhow, is I'm scared that I'm figuring out my expenses, but I don't know what they are because I can't price them. And that's what's going to make it a little bit key for the poor guy out there trying to figure that way. The guy that's got some locked-in fertilizer prices, we do think they should be taking advantage of some of these prices.
Yeah, and so it's all kinds of prices. The seed's probably okay, I suppose. Fertilizer prices they can deal with, maybe, as long as they can get it. But the pesticides seem like they're going to be an issue, and you might have to change up your whole pesticide routine depending on what's available.
Yes, just the availability and whether they'll have nitrogen or not come spring. Because right now, some of the fertilizer plants are only guaranteeing half of what they put on this last year.
Any final thoughts from you on this Tuesday as we head into the Thanksgiving holiday?
I think that basically along the way, we generally have a little rally into Thanksgiving here like that. We will see the options expire on Friday, so we'll still see a little bit of fireworks in our shortened session on Friday. And then generally we have a little tendency to drift a little bit going into Christmas. But wish everybody a very, very good Thanksgiving. Hope you can spend it with your family and just enjoy family time.
Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. It's National Farm City Week from now through Thanksgiving. University of Illinois Extension is celebrating that link between rural and urban areas. And today, we'll explore landscaping plants with University of Illinois Extension horticulture educator Richard Henschel. Now, we started by discussing the pandemic and just how the horticulture industry has weathered the last couple of years.
Well, amazingly, pretty good, Todd. We have... Because everyone was home and no gas was being bought and vacations weren't happening and people had saved up for those kinds of things or expected expenses like gasoline, they had some dollars that they could spend. They kind of looked out the picture window or the back room window and looked at their yard and said, I'm working from home. The family's here. This doesn't look the best. Let's step up and do some landscaping. And that's what they did. So there were lots of good sales. In 2020, there were lots of good sales in 2021. So the retail garden center side looked pretty good.
Has the lack of labor been a problem?
We have the retailer side has, I'll say, suffered like every other industry, just having enough people on hand to fill all the hours. They've probably fared a bit better than others because it's a relatively focused area and people enjoy what they do for horticulture and kind of stayed with it. So that wasn't so bad. But yes, they suffered some shortage of personnel. Absolutely.
In northern Illinois, there was a drought in 2021. Did that have much of an impact on landscape plants?
For the most part, the impact was in the or on the more established landscapes, the home landscapes that already existed because homeowners really needed to get on water and take care of things. On the retail side, the garden center side, of course, they were already prepared to water, so you did not see the kind of decline or lack of vigor or lack of annual growth on the retail nursery side. On the wholesale side, the plants grew as best they could, given that they're out in the field by the acre, just like corn and beans would be, and they had to deal with whatever moisture they had. So the annual amounts of growth suffered a little bit. The caliper size suffered a little bit. But otherwise, they were healthy, and they'll come back very nicely in 2022.
What kind of help does Illinois Extension offer in the horticulture area as it's related either to the commercial industry or the landowner, private homeowner?
Todd, we have both horticulture educators as well as the local food small farm educators. That takes it up to probably over 30, 35 educators available for help for the homeowner and the small business owner. Horticulture educators cover everything from home vegetable gardening through tree, shrubs, evergreens. There are some of us that do address the commercial horticulture. We have a commercial agriculturist who handles large fruits, orchards, in other words, commercial orchards. So there certainly is help available that way. There's a number of websites that would also be of benefit.
And finally, you talked a little bit about 2020, 2021. What are your expectations for 2022?
Well, I mentioned that the plants are going to continue to grow regardless of the weather and regardless of what the economy and our personnel status is. So plant material that's field grown is going to be in good supply. Wholesale greenhouses have suffered the same woes in terms of personnel as the rest of the industry. But in terms of what's available to the homeowner, typically we walk into a garden center and see anything and everything we want and every size and color we want. As it was in 2020 and 2021, 2022 will probably have a similar but less impactful experience for the homeowner. They still might not be able to get the flowers in the exact color they want or the plants in the right size they want. Horticultural supplies, potting soil, those kinds of things might come and go in terms of supply. But we are definitely working towards having an adequate amount of materials available for the consumer when they get to the garden center.
Richard Hinchel is a University of Illinois Extension horticulture educator. He develops and distributes seasonal horticultural information and is available generally to consult on all types of horticultural issues. And we are celebrating National Farm City Week this week, highlighting some of the ways Extension is woven into the social and educational fabric connecting the rural and urban areas of America. Each week on Tuesday, we take a look at the agricultural energies. This week, we're joined by Dan O'Brien of Kansas State University Extension. Dan, thank you for being with us. You have done some work today, in fact, for Kansas State and for us on the ethanol issue. I'd like to focus in on an area that we discussed here just a bit, which is the difference between October, November, maybe all the way back to August through November in the profitability of an ethanol plant. Can you describe how things have changed for me?
Yes, we're working with estimates from Iowa with regard to plants in that state, so really quite relevant to where you're at in Illinois, and pretty relevant also to where we're at in Kansas. August profitability estimated on this model out of Iowa State University of a loss of 18 cents a gallon in August. September jumped up to a profit of 26 cents. Then in October, a profit of 42 cents. Here are estimates so far, first 3 weeks in November up through the 19th, of 68 cents a gallon. And the thing that really jumps out to me anyway is to see how ethanol prices are estimated. Well, and for these weeks from November the 5th to the 12th to the 19th, 303 the first week, 317 the second week, 331. So that estimate of 68 cents a gallon is probably low given where we're at right now. And during that same time, you have DDG prices pretty level the first 2 weeks of the month, dropping off about $18 or so per ton, 17-18 here in the week of the 19th. Corn prices, 563, 552, 574, pretty strong, a little moving up a little bit, if anything. So you have all that, and at the same time, if you have those trends in ethanol, again, moving higher from 215 to 229, 215 August, 229 September, 240 in October, now 317 in November, you've got ethanol break-even prices sideways to just slightly higher, bouncing around between basically $1.98 in October up to about $2.33 in August, $2.15 this last, so far in November. So just quite the situation. And I guess when we try to localize this and look at prices for ethanol off the last reports that we've got, there in Illinois, where you're, in the eastern Corn Belt, you're looking at a price of $3.48. So what I've got in this model is even low. That's $3.48 as of Monday the 22nd, on the high end for the eastern Corn Belt, $2.88 low, $3.48 to the high, $3.25 average. And really, that's pretty even with where we're at other places. Actually, higher, a little bit higher in Minnesota, and even a little bit higher on average in Iowa than you are in Illinois. We're out here to the west, we're at 330, just about in the same pack. So quite the trends, Todd, in terms of where the ethanol industry is going, and profitable times, operating well, and we throw in the other dynamics of the motor fuel and oil markets right now, with strategic reserves being released and the market trying to wade through how to respond to that. You've just got a lot of strong fuel demand affecting the gasoline and ethanol markets, and unless we get a real surge, a tremendous surge in corn exports or some other corn usage factor that comes in, we've got high corn price. Unless we really jump, at 50 cents to a dollar, it looks like we're in for some profitability for ethanol plants and really strong ethanol sales markets.
Let's do talk about some of the fundamentals underpinning the ethanol market at this point. Is capacity constrained in any way?
I'd gone through and looked at at least what's listed from the Renewable Fuels Association. It doesn't seem that it is. In fact, we added one plant up from 209 to 210, but still projecting about the same capacity. So it doesn't. There's no indication, at least from my looking at those numbers, that we see plant closures or anything like that happening. I may be missing out on something, but to me it looks like just a strong demand pull situation on the ethanol side, and really showing up in that ethanol market. Just such a jump from 240 per gallon average for ethanol in October up to 317 on average, and really higher than that right now. So it just seems that the ethanol cash market is the driver in this at this point.
So there are, 210 ethanol plants in the United States, as you mentioned.
Right.
They have a capacity of how much?
They have a capacity of about 17.4 billion gallons. Now, last year, of course, with COVID-19, the last calendar year with COVID-19 disruptions, we were operating about 88% capacity. But now we're operating at, I guess, a conservative way to look at that, it's probably about 99, if not higher percent capacity, going full bore at profitability like this. So, at that type of profit margin, even older plants that maybe inherently operate less efficiently still are probably making at a situation like this. So this is the type of rising tide that's brought them all back in. Or at least that would seem to be the case. It would tend to do that. We're very likely operating at full capacity and trying to keep up on the demand side.
On that note, what you're telling me is that we're running at full capacity, 17.4 billion gallon production total for any given calendar year or 12-month period. Are we building stocks? Are they just profitable enough that they're putting stocks in while they can make a profit?
As I look at the stocks numbers, well, we're tight. We're at about 20 million barrels, and that's down from, well, that's bouncing along in essence kind of sideways from the low we'd seen in the last one or two or three years, and actually lower than where we were before. Weekly ethanol production spiked up just a little bit from where we'd been, and we haven't really seen rebuilding of stocks yet. So it does seem that it's a demand-driven situation, and we at least as of yet haven't seen increased production start to lead to built-up stocks, i.e. we're producing it and using it. So I don't want to just throw hyperbole out there, but honestly, when you look at the numbers, it doesn't look like we're rebuilding stocks at least yet, and that would probably be the first signal, first harbinger of all this turning to the ethanol price turning to the downside if we start to rebuild stocks and have some burdensome movement, I guess, or burdensome lack of movement. But it doesn't seem to be happening yet. But when we talk in December, that may be the case. But right now, we're in a tight supply demand situation, strong prices, good profitability, and there's a saying in Kansas, when we have profits, we just can't stand them staying around. So we do everything we can to take them down. Basically, we increase production and increase cost, and high profitability like this sends out economic signals to reverse or sets things in motion that tend to bring down that profitability. Well, I think that's what we'll be watching for in the next one or two or three months, to see how the market responds to this. If ethanol prices stay high, and if they do, then the demand pull for corn will be right there. I guess as we look at the corn market, at feed grain markets, it's a positive signal for their strength to continue. As you and I have talked about, I guess we're all in the energy market now. So we'll see what gasoline and oil does, but that's no doubt having a spillover effect into ethanol industry and leading to profitability right now.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd. Take care.
You too. Dan O'Brien is with Kansas State University Extension. Turning our attention to the weather forecast, Don Day is now here from Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Don, thank you for being with us. Let's start with a Thanksgiving Day or holiday weather forecast from you. What do you see for Thursday?
Well, you know, what I see on Thursday is a forecast that is fairly unremarkable for a lot of the 48 states. As we're looking at a system coming through the Midwest, there's going to be some rain across the Great Lakes and across the Eastern Corn Belt down to the Gulf Coast and East Texas. And on the north end of that, in the Northern Great Lakes, there's going to be a little bit of snow. But elsewhere across the U.S., it's not going to be a very active Thanksgiving, really. We have seen far worse Thanksgiving in terms of travel delays and snowstorms and ice storms. So I would call this a fairly decent Thanksgiving, with the exception of those areas I mentioned that might be a little cool and wet.
Let's turn your attention to the weather forecast for some of the growing regions. I'd like to start in the Plain States in the south and work our way from Texas to Kansas to begin with. Talk about the hard red winter wheat growing regions and then maybe into the northern plains and the Canadian prairies.
Okay, so those areas, in fact, we could connect those areas in the southern plains and go all the way up to the northern plains because the pattern is somewhat similar. Well, there's going to be some up and downs with temperatures. Precipitation going to be lacking here for the next 7 to 10 days. Actually, temperatures will probably be, on the most part, if you were to average up the next week and a half, they're going to be above normal. And that's going to coincide with not much in the way of any precipitation. And that would be from the prairie provinces of southern Canada through the Dakotas all the way down into Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas. We do expect that's going to change as we get into the first week of December, as we do see some long-term pattern changes that will start to bring a more winter-like pattern to North America. But it's a good 7 to 10 days before that even gets started.
That usually means the jet stream tends to drop deeper into the middle part of the United States, gives us a northwestern flow of air. Is that what you're thinking will happen, and does it dump across the Midwest?
Yeah, that is exactly what's going to be happening, and we're very confident that the northern tier of the U.S., by the weekend after this one, so it'd be the first weekend of December and the week following, there is going to be some colder air moving into those areas, very much a winter-like weather pattern, and we do see that settling into the upper Midwest. The question that we're looking at right now is how far deep penetration of that cold air will it go? Will it get all the way into the Midwest and the Great Lakes? Will it push towards the Gulf Coast, or will it be more hung up across the U.S.-Canadian border? That we're very confident about, the U.S.-Canadian border area being a lot colder and more wintry. But when we talk next time, we'll take a look and see if that penetration is going to be as far south as we have seen it before, or is that going to come a little bit later? But one thing that is something we're getting more and more confident about is that December is going to be a much colder month for many areas of the United States relative to normals than what we have seen here in the month of November.
We'll talk to you one more time for the month of November. December will be on the heels of that time frame. Look forward to having that conversation next Tuesday, and thanks for joining us today.
Have a good Thanksgiving.
You too. Don Day is with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.